Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome. Happy Friday afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM from the Solidarity Realty Studios and around the state, Lake Air up in Amory, WLAK, and WGBW in Green Bay. If you want to learn more about some of the stations we are putting together here at Civic Media, go to the website, civicmedia.us. You can learn more. And on a Friday afternoon, I am joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Matt, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
Doing fine, Luke. Thanks for having me back in studio. It's always nice to see you. I like the Brewers cap you got on.
Thank you.
Today.
The spring training is underway. It is. It's one of those first indicators. Spring is on its way. It is. I'm not focusing on a particular franchise right now. There's one with a little drama surrounding it, and we don't have to talk about that one. But between the Brewers getting ready with spring training and the Milwaukee Bucks on a 16-game win streak.
Yeah, how do you like that?
Those two franchises, those are the two that I'm really focused on here in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, I love the way the Bucks are rolling now.
Yeah, they're looking good. They are.
They got a good shot of winning the whole thing again.
Yeah, knock on wood from your lips. That's what I want to hear.
God's ear.
Yep, exactly. It will be very interesting to see how things shake down for the positioning going into the postseason and how this postseason turns out for them, because they are looking pretty good right now. But have you in here on this Friday afternoon, not to talk sports. It is fun to talk about, but we've got some political headlines, some good governance, some bad governance headlines, I think, too, that we can get to,
some
Matt.
No accountability for bad governance on one side, and maybe ultimately some accountability, we hope.
We hope. But folks, if you want to share a tangent with Matt and I on this Friday afternoon, the phone lines are open all hour long, 844-967-2789. You can call or text, and let's start with this one, because he's been the boogeyman for some time now. We'll get to kind of the behind-the-scenes character that has no accountability in a little bit, but potentially some accountability against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman getting slapped with a third ethics complaint. Matt, what can we say with Michael Gableman? I thought when Voss kind of ended things last fall that we would stop hearing from Michael Gableman so frequently, but J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics in the last week or so reported that the taxpayer tab is up to $2.5 million.
More legal fees that we're paying.
That we are paying as Wisconsin taxpayers. But now we're also finding out that there is another ethics complaint against Michael Gableman. What can you tell us about this third one? Is number three the charm?
I hope so, and I'm all for this one. It was filed just yesterday, by this terrific pro-democracy law firm called Law Forward that's just come onto the scene in the last 2 years and is leveling the legal playing field finally for us on the progressive side as it goes head-to-head with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and other right-wing forces that have been so dominant in the courts. So what Law Forward said was it's time for Michael Gableman to be held to account. They filed a 95-page complaint, if you don't count the appendixes. And the appendixes were long, by the way. And it was all legalese. I couldn't read the appendixes. But the 95-page complaint I could read in the one-page accompanying letter that you can find at Law Forward's website lays it out real clear. And let me at the outset say, Michael Gableman could lose his law license for what he did, and he should lose his law license. And so that would be one kind of accountability. This isn't about putting Michael Gableman in jail, but it is about him no longer being able to practice law for the offenses that he committed. And let me just outline them.
Yeah.
Law Forward alleges with voluminous substantiation in that 95-page complaint that Gableman committed the following violations of legal ethics. Number one, he conducted himself in a way that regularly fell below the minimum standard of competence for lawyers in Wisconsin. Number two, he consistently lied to government officials, to the legislature, to courts, and to the public. Number three, he pursued frivolous litigation claims and abused legal processes, harassing those with whom he disagrees politically. Number four, and there are only six, so hold on. Number four, he there are 23.
I was just saying, are there 95? Was there one per page? Or okay, there's only six.
No, there's an end to this. Number four, he failed to follow the rules that govern attorney-client relationships. Number five, he violated basic rules of legal practice. And I do love the way they put number six. He completely disregarded every part of the oath he took as an attorney. So basically, they threw the whole book at him.
There we go.
And it will be up to the agency that adjudicates these things to see whether he loses his law license or not. But this isn't the first time that he's been hit with a complaint. Of course, the judge who was hearing a case against him threw a complaint at him because he was being so sexist to one of the attorneys on the other side of Gableman. And there was a second one as well. So we need accountability. That's what they said in their longer complaint, which set at the beginning, set the outset, the climate for what Gableman was doing, situated Gableman as part and parcel. I think their words were a co-conspirator in some of the January 6th crimes that occurred, this effort to really overturn the will of the people. That's what it was about for Trump, and that's what it was about for Gableman. That's what it was about for Branchin. That's what it's about for this other person we're going to talk about soon.
And the list goes on and on of characters involved that accountability, in my opinion, is well deserved for.
And when is it going to come? That's the thing that's really ticking me off. I mean, Gableman is a small fish, even though he looks like a big fish. He's a small fish.
Well, he's an expensive fish.
Very costly fish, a $2.5 million fish.
Wisconsin taxpayers stuck with that tab. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in studio by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And really, that's what a lot of us have been waiting to hear, though, is, and a lot of us are curious on that timeline of when this accountability is going to come.
I mean, when is Merrick Garland Day? Merrick Garland.
I'm waiting for Merrick Garland Day for a real long time now.
It's appalling how slow he is, how tardy he is in bringing this indictment. It's now 2 years and 2 months since the crime was committed. You know, if you went and robbed the bank down the street, they wouldn't wait 2 years and 2 months to slap you in jail.
And now you're talking about the crime of the fraudulent elector scheme here in Wisconsin.
I'm talking about the Trump crime against the whole transfer of power, which includes everything. It includes the false electors. It includes bring the mob on January 6th. It includes browbeating Vice President Pence and then having the crowd threaten to hang him. It includes all of that, all the efforts to overturn the election, including, you know, the frivolous lawsuits and everything else. And so, and here in Wisconsin, after the fact, you know, the effort by some Republicans,
that's where Gableman is.
Yeah, to decertify the election, which Gableman for a while there was advocating
was
along with Crazy Rampton.
That was the only report that he had. His report was coming out to say that the Wisconsin legislature should do something that all legal experts on both sides of the political spectrum were saying, no, that's not something we can legally do. And yeah, Michael Gableman admitted he didn't know how elections worked. He was a lot of smoke and mirrors trying to find, for 14 months, trying to find evidence of a widespread theory that Republicans and conservatives out there believe the 2020 election was stolen. And we're up to $2.5 million, and Gableman found nothing. And I think Robin Voss wanted this to go out in a fizzle, but the fact that there needs to be accountability for that $2.5 million spent and the trust that was broken by, because when you have individuals that you believe are trying to tell you the truth, go out there and say the election was stolen from you. The election was, I'm going and I'm going to do all of the, I'm going to turn over all the rocks in South Dakota and in Arizona and go to all these places where it had nothing to do with how Wisconsin conducted its election in 2020. And Michael Gableman tried to feed off the same lies that were being purported by Fox News, that we're finding out the executives and the hosts at Fox News knew that it was bogus. They knew that these lies were lies, and they still came out and told them. And Michael Gableman was a consequence of that.
He also, Gableman himself, knew that you can't retroactively withdraw our votes from the Electoral College. Even one of his own attorneys said so. I mean, and so he was involved. Maybe he was a true believer for part of it, because he was saying just days after the election that it was stolen with no evidence whatsoever. But ultimately, he was lying just like Tucker Carlson was lying.
Yeah, but when you're paid, what was it, north of, it was $11,000 a month. Gableman was being contracted by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Republican-led legislature to go and find the widespread fraud that they were saying was out there, but they could not find. Of course, Gableman was probably a true believer at some point in there, because he had a gravy train just backing up to his doorstep and dumping the cash of Wisconsin taxpayers to go find this fraud that didn't exist. It was a wild goose chase.
And why did Voss appoint him knowing that he was biased? Voss appointed him because he appreciated that bias, because that bias gave him coverage with Trump and coverage with the, you know, enraged base that Trump riled up, and other folks like Janelle Branjan and Gableman himself riled up here in Wisconsin. So Voss is responsible for this waste of $2.5 million. And Voss needs to be held accountable by voters, but and almost was because of the right-wing challenger that Gableman himself endorsed, which
not
was the
was
only
expecting.
Thing that got him fired,
yes,
by Voss. Not the lying, not the waste of our money, not the crazy fishing expedition he went on, but he endorsed the guy who was challenging Voss and almost knocked Voss out of the park.
And that's what's got that's what got Gableman fired. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers on a Friday afternoon, joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Do you think Michael Gableman is going to be held accountable on this third one? We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. But one of the other individuals we alluded to with zero accountability so far for that scheme to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power in 2020, Jim Troupas, an attorney here in Dane County. He's
former
back in
judge
the head-
even.
Yeah. And he's back in the headlines here as well for Wisconsin. So we're going to get to that story next, as well as a few other good governance aspects floating around the state of Wisconsin. And your tangents, if you want to share them, 844-967-2789. You can follow the show on Twitter. You can share your tangents there as well, at Dueling Tangents. We'll continue the conversation when we get back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media here in Wisconsin. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789, you can call or text. I'm joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about good governance, some potential accountability maybe for former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman with a third ethics complaint filed against him by Law Forward, with the whole 95 pages of the book being thrown at him, saying all of the malice that he did throughout his 14-month endeavor to try to find widespread voter fraud that just did not exist, and the actions he took, and they allege, to should result in him losing his law license.
It's a consummation devoutly to be wished, for sure. I mean, you know, he put us through this ridiculous circus, Gableman did, and Voss did, and it robbed us of $2.5 million of our taxpayer money. it hyped the big lie here in Wisconsin for a year and a half at least. And it did damage to our reputation as a state and damage to our democratic practices. And he should be held accountable for lying, for trying to jail the mayor of Green Bay
and Madison
here for illegitimate reasons. I mean, it was just one thing after another. But it's part and parcel of what three arch-conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court justices wanted to do, too. They wanted to throw out tens of thousands of votes here in Dane County and in Milwaukee County. And basically hand the state over to Trump. And what Gableman was trying to do was retroactively either try to do the same thing or at least justify the claims by Trump and his supporters that somehow something crazy had happened.
Well, it's just accepting the Robin Voss legal theory that if you discount Madison and Milwaukee, well, of course the maps are fair here in Wisconsin. Then they're very reflective of Wisconsin if you just discount the state's two largest cities.
Well, Voss on the maps, and you know, he makes the claim that the maps are somehow fair here in Wisconsin, and the only reason Republicans win is A, they have better candidates, and B, you know, they got better issues, or C, you know, all the Democrats self-congregate in Dane County and Milwaukee County. But all three things were true. Why did he even bother trying to rig the maps outside of Dane County and Milwaukee County?
Exactly. And it's an argument that falls apart. But when you pull on the thread just a little bit too much. But one of the interesting lack of accountability that we're going to see now is a piece written up very well by Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about how one of the attorneys tied to this plot to overturn the state's 10 electoral votes in 2020 is going to be reappointed to a judicial advisory panel, Matt. This lawyer that played a questionable role in the overturning, the attempted overturning of the state's 2020 election, will now advise other judges here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. His name is Jim Troupas. He used to be a judge here, and he was just reappointed on a slender 4-3 margin at the Wisconsin Supreme Court to something called the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. Wow, what credentials he has to be on that. I mean, here's a guy who was intimately involved in the criminal conspiracy here with our false electors to get 10 to organize the 10 Republican false electors and that slate of electors, try to get that in the hands of Vice President Pence and overturn our the results of our election here in Wisconsin in November 2020. That's worthy of him being on the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee.
He served on that committee while he was partaking in this scheme. And so he is going to have another 3-year term on that advisory committee, even though he is documented to have involvement with this scheme to overturn the state's 10 electoral votes. And as you pointed out, reading from the piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Molly Beck, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in June said he had coordinated with Troupas to pass along to Pence a document Troupas described as regarding Wisconsin electors on the morning of January 6, 2021. So not only did he help coordinate getting the 10 fraudulent electors in December of 2020, he was there on the day the insurrection happened, trying to get those fraudulent electors through Senator Ron Johnson to then Vice President Mike Pence.
So here we have a guy who's a co-conspirator in the plot to overturn the elections, co-conspiring with Ron Johnson minutes before the Electoral College is about to start to try to get him this slate of bogus electors here in Wisconsin so that our votes don't count in Wisconsin. A co-conspirator in the January 6th, which will for all time be viewed as the worst effort to overthrow an election in U.S. history. This coup attempt, Jim Troupas involved in the coup attempt reappointed by the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If you ever needed a reason to vote in this upcoming April 4th Wisconsin Supreme Court election, they just gave us another one right here. Because look what they're doing. They're putting this guy who is a co-conspirator meddling in the January 6th coup attempt, organizing our false electors, and they say he should sit on the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. I mean, he should be investigated by Merrick Garland or Josh Call. Josh Call, are you home? Anybody home in Josh Call's office to go after the false electors and to go after Jim Troupas?
Yeah, it is. It is baffling that because three of those four justices that voted to reappoint Troupas to this board, three of them were totally fine with throwing out Dane County and Milwaukee County's votes in that lawsuit brought by the Trump team back in 2020 and 2021.
They still wanted to do it in March when they heard the ballot, the Dropbox case.
And so, yeah, it begs the question why Brian Hagedorn believes that this is an acceptable individual to reappoint to that committee.
Yeah, Brian Hagedorn needs another justice who's going to defend democracy sitting next to him.
Wisconsin needs another justice that will defend democracy.
Absolutely. We can't trust these folks.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by Matt Rothschild. We'll be right back.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
What do you have to say for yourself?
My lack of involvement was seconds worth.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And Matt, we are discussing the potential accountability. I won't call it official accountability yet because it is a third ethics complaint slapped against former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. So some potential for accountability there. No accountability for Jim Troupas. I always want to say Troupas. And so Troupas. The attorney here in Dane County, former Dane County judge, that sits on an advisory panel for other judges here in Wisconsin, although he was thoroughly involved with the scheme to overturn the state's...
Up to his eyeballs.
But from start to beginning, too, because the first step that Trump's team took in the fall of 2020 was recounting votes. And that recount wasn't a statewide recount. They didn't want to pay for that. That was going to be like $7 million or something like that at the time. We're still dealing with COVID protocols, so you had to make sure that they're safe for all of our clerks counting the ballots in a recount. They didn't want to do it statewide. And so they did it in two areas. They wanted to recount Dane County's votes and Milwaukee County's votes to try to say, oh, well, there was some impropriety there, and we're going to recount those ones to make sure that the liberal areas got their numbers right. We trust our numbers. There's no problem with the conservative areas of the state. Trust those initial counts, but we're going to double-check Milwaukee and Dane County. No problem.
What happened there?
They found more Biden votes.
Yeah, there you go.
There was a lack of Biden votes in the first count. So Biden picked up votes in that recount. And so then after the recount failed, They went through and they're like, okay, so what are we going to do next? And behind the scenes, and we now know this from the January 6th House Select Committee from the last Congress, that there was a coordinated effort in states among Trump's legal team, both in D.C. and in Wisconsin and other states around the nation, to put up forward a ballot of fraudulent electors to illegally, fraudulently claim that Trump won the state rather than Biden. And Jim Troupas played a role in that. He coordinated that effort. He was one of the first attorneys here in Wisconsin to learn about that, along with Kenneth
Cheesebro. Yeah. So, I mean, they were basically John Eastman's, deputies here.
Yeah.
They were fulfilling the bogus legal theory that John Eastman proposed as to how Trump could somehow invalidate all our votes and stay in power. Because this is what it was all about, keeping Trump in power any possible way you could. And ultimately that turned into storming the Capitol and trashing the Capitol and trying to hang the vice president. But the effort to do it without hanging the vice president was conceived as a way to, you know, get these false electors going. And so we've heard about Andrew Hitt, who was head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, a reluctant false elector. But, you know, you can't be driving the getaway car and saying, you know, I really didn't want to drive the getaway car from the bank robbery, but I did.
Just because you reluctantly accepted, you know, the counterfeit money, the counterfeit money was still in your possession.
Yeah.
That is still a crime. And so, he signed his name along with nine other electors saying that...
Including Bob Spindell of the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yeah, and no accountability there either. Dan Kelly, former state Supreme Court justice and current candidate for that 10-year term that is up on the April 4th ballot, he apparently was paid $120,000 by the state GOP to consult on the legal aspect of that scheme as well.
So here we have Jim Troupas. We have Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability. The question, the higher question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy take over our country, continue to try to take over our state? And it's about freedom, because the forces who are opposed to democracy, they may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom. Look at places where folks who are hostile to democracy took power and how freedom evaporated there. Chile under Augusto Pinochet, Hitler, Mussolini, go on and on.
You got Orbán in Hungary right now. You're seeing it around. There is a resurgence of it around the world.
This is the scariest thing that I see these days, Luke, is this anti-democracy movement worldwide. And it's sprouted here in this country in ways that a lot of people thought could never happen. Oh, we're above that. We're the longest.
Oh, it could never happen here.
It'll never happen here. And it happened on January 6th right in front of our very eyes. And now it's trying to be rewritten by Tucker Carlson with the 40,000 hours of footage that fell into his lap. So
and Brian Stile, now the chair of that committee, that turned that over, greenlighting the Speaker of the House, making that decision to do that.
I mean, that's disgraceful. And I think that's the bigger picture that we need to keep our eyes on, even beyond this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, which is crucial. But that is, how do we counteract this anti-democracy movement? What does this anti-democracy movement consist of? It consists of the Trump cult, of course, and there's still tens of millions of people out there who think he was the greatest thing since the SOS pad or the microchip. And then they're the white nationalists too. And these folks, I don't think have been identified properly by most of the media. You know, sometimes they're depicted as these guys in camouflage who just want to go out in the woods and play with their guns on the weekends. These guys hate democracy. They hate liberalism. They hate letting women have their freedom. They wear shirts that signify 6 million wasn't enough, that Adolf Hitler didn't kill enough Jews in the Holocaust. That's a T-shirt the Proud Boys wear. They also wear a shirt that says Augusto Pinochet did nothing wrong. Pinochet, the dictator of Chile, who killed thousands of people and tortured tens of thousands more. These are the people they idolize. Those are the values, if you can call them that, that they respect, which is just, you know, killing and torturing people who don't agree with you. And that's not that far away as a possibility here if we lose everything. Because what if, you know, Trump declared martial law on January 6th?
It was very close.
Or what
January
if he gets
6th.
Reelected and declares martial law?
And the problem is, if there is no accountability for those crimes that were committed leading up to and on that day and following that day, for these individuals that acted and coordinated those events and then tried to say, oh, well, there was reports of widespread fraud. So we went and looked at the widespread fraud and nothing and burning, just lighting on fire, $2.5 million of Wisconsin taxpayer funds, the former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, effectively, and greenlighted by the current assembly speaker, Robin Voss.
Right. And just contaminating people's minds with this garbage. It's garbage in and then it's garbage out, because a lot of people will then believe it because they're fed it, you know, on a 24/7 IV drip from far right talk radio, which thank God civic media is trying to combat. But it's out there when you drive around the state. You hear it.
More alternatives popping up on the dial every day, though.
So that's the great thing.
You got to stay tuned to civic media.
My hat's off to civic media. I mean, you guys are doing a fantastic job here.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you want to learn more about what we're doing at Civic Media, go to the website, civicmedia.us. You can see that coming soon feature for our coverage area, and the state of Wisconsin getting filled up pretty well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You can be like Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Terrific show. I can't thank you enough for putting this all into a timeline and putting it into a very easy to understand, very accessible format to understand what treacherous times we're in. I'd like to just make one statement and then I'll ask you a question. The first I would say is when you're speaking about how to tackle this anti-democracy run that we've seen within our country and within our state in particular, it's important, I think, to be as sparse with or as direct with language as we possibly can be to say invalidate our votes. Man, it's worse, way worse than that. If your vote doesn't count, we're done. Democracy is over. We're over. We don't have a democracy if votes can be invalidated in this way by just having some false electors sashay their way in. And then the second thing I would say is that I have a question about the subject that you brought up before, which was Jim Troupas being assigned to this judicial review panel, and it was the Supreme Court that has assigned this guy who was up to his neck in junking our vote here through the January 6th invalidating our vote through the illegal electors. My question would be, you mentioned Josh Call, you know, should be responding to this, or other attorney generals should be responding to this. How would that work if this review is part of the state Supreme Court? How would Call put together an argument against this, and just what would be the procedure? How would that work? I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. Thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate your phone call.
You know, Joe has the most thoughtful calls.
Oh, always the most thoughtful.
Yeah, she's terrific. And treacherous times was a really nice phrase for what we're living in.
I love the addition of the sashay away, too, though.
Sashay was good, too. But look, Josh Call, as the chief prosecutor of the state of Wisconsin, can open up a law book and find a law that these guys violated, like a law. I'm not a lawyer, but maybe it's there under the fraud statute, or maybe it's there under tampering with elections. But he should be able to find something to pin these guys on. And I know the good lawyers over at Law Forward have been begging him, or District Attorney Ishozon right here in Dane County. He could bring lawsuits too. Here's where the crimes were committed. And so I'm hoping these prosecutors will, defend our democracy and prosecute people who are trying to overturn our democracy right here in Wisconsin. We don't have to wait for Merrick Garland. I'm sick of waiting for Merrick Garland. I want Josh Call and Ishozon to start, getting off their backsides.
Their keisters.
And starting to bring to account the people who are violating the will of the people here in Wisconsin, our most treasured, cherished democratic function, which is voting.
Yeah. And I'm not a lawyer, but I think the most succinct response would be that this entire scheme falls under the act of insurrection, and it is illegal to commit insurrection against the United States. And so if you want to go broad, big picture, there's the law.
Yeah, and there must be a law against insurrection against the state of Wisconsin as well. So,
open
the law book, find a law that applies. That's what you get paid for.
Depending on how they sent in those fraudulent ballots as well, mail fraud or whatever kind of fraud they committed by saying that the former president, at the time he was the president, but to say that Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes and signing their names to that.
Asserting that they were the legitimate electors. And, that was a false statement. That was also impersonating an official.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things they could do that Law Forward has outlined. Law Forward actually has a lawsuit pending also against Troupas and the false electors in civil court here in Wisconsin.
And there are several different ways for accountability to be had for these various actors. The most succinct accountability that Wisconsin voters can have and have a say in is coming up on April 4th. Dan Kelly legally advised the state's GOP, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, in how they brought together this scheme in 2020. Andrew Hitt, the January 6th committee, we found out that Dan Kelly was tied to it, paid $120,000. If you do not want somebody that was involved with that scheme on the state's highest court for 10 years, go vote. If you want to see Robert Spindell, who has had racist remarks about tampering down certain demographics in the Milwaukee area's voting turnout numbers.
I mean, this was amazing. He said We should he talking to
he
Republicans.
He was patting himself on the back.
We should be especially proud. Those were his terms. Especially
yes.
proud that we kept the vote down by about $37,000, 37,000 voters in Milwaukee County, especially in wards that were predominantly Black and Latino.
If you want accountability for Robert Spindell, the majority leader of the state Senate, Devin LeMahieu, is who directly appoints Spindell to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You want to see accountability? You should be calling into that office, the office for the state Senate majority leader, once a week, saying, I want accountability against Robert Spindell.
Yeah, look up LeMahieu's email address. Just put in LeMahieu. It's L-E-M-A-H-I-E-U. LeMahieu. And
better speller than I.
Senate Majority Leader, and you'll get his email right there, and just send him an email every day saying how dare you keep this guy on the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yeah, and being able to, there are avenues as well, and we will continue to look for them. But the public outcry around these actors not being held accountable is an aspect that everybody out there in the listening audience can get involved in as well.
And I'll give you Lemieux's number and email when we come back.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Got a few more Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to, as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You can follow Dueling Tangents on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. You can follow the network there as well, at Civic Media US. We got one more segment before the weekend. Stay tuned. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. There you go, E. You're enjoying that one. Accountability can be had for these individuals that we're talking about this hour, though. Several of them. With Michael Gableman, the former state Supreme Court Justice. Accountability could be had through the committee that will now review that third ethics complaint.
Yeah, he could lose his law license, which would be some kind of accountability.
And so not,
sure.
not a whole lot of direct action that can be taken by listeners on that one. Dan Kelly, in his legal advice to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power here in Wisconsin, he could be held accountable at the ballot box on April 4th. If you want a Supreme Court majority that would not approve in a 4-3 decision to re-up to a 3-year term, Jim Troupas, to a the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee that oversees judges here in Wisconsin, you can vote at the ballot box on April 4th. There's many ways that you can, if you want accountability for Robert Spindell, who we've mentioned, you can call up LeMahieu. And as you said, you've got the number and contact for the state.
Yeah, so this is Senator Devin LeMahieu, who is the majority leader in the Senate and is Robin Voss's little brother, essentially. and he's never allowed to speak unless Voss is sitting next to him.
See, I feel like he's not like a one to speak regardless.
No, he's not a great speaker.
He's just a quiet fellow, I believe.
The shy majority leader over there. Anyway, his number is 608-266-2056. I'll give it to you once more, the 608. 266-2056. Or you can send him an email at senforsenator.lemahieu, LEMAHIEU, at legis.wisconsin.gov. Once more, sen.lemahieu at legis.wisconsin.gov.
There
Give
we go.
Give him an earful. Tell him to get rid of Bob Spindell.
Yeah, tell him that Robert Spindell does not deserve to be sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission with the fact that he was one of the 10 fraudulent electors, and his grotesque comments about suppressing the vote in Milwaukee in 2022.
I mean, how can anyone in this day and age brag in public about suppressing the vote of Blacks and Latinos, given the horrible history in this country, more than 100-year history of Jim Crow voter denial for people who are Black and Latino? I mean, it's an obscenity. And there he was, not only confessing that he did it,
But boasting about it.
With the Republican Party.
Bragging in emails.
And then bragging about them, telling them all they should be especially proud that they strip blacks and Latinos of the interest in going out and voting.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to take action to hold these individuals accountable, you can. Or you can give us a phone call here at Dueling Tangents, joined on this Friday afternoon by Matt Rothschild. And you on the phone lines, we've got Michelle in Waukesha calling in now. Michelle, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Just curious about this panel of electors that they were supposed to present as an alternative to the actual ones. Were those actually real people? And if so, who are they? And how come they're not being held accountable? Because they must have known that it was fraud.
Yeah, that is an excellent question, Michelle. And they were 10 individuals, 10 members of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin. Andrew Hitt, the chair of the state GOP, was one of them. Robert Spindell, the Lemme Hughes appointee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, was another.
That's another reason you should tell Lemme Hughes to get rid of Spindell.
Yeah, there was
another false elector.
Kelly Rue, who sat, she was the 8th congressional district representative for the Republican Party. She was a city councilwoman from De Pere, I believe. She lost a re-election bid to that same city council back in 2021 when it came out that she was involved in this scheme. One of the 10 was working on Senator Ron Johnson's re-election campaign last year. That individual's name escapes me right now. But yes, these were 10 individuals in the Republican Party that participated in this scheme. They arrived at an undisclosed location. They had armed guards take them to the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th, the same day the actual electors for the state's 10 electoral votes were there, meeting and signing the official paperwork, and that was coordinated by now Congressman, but then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald's office.
Let him in.
Yeah, he let him into the state capitol to commit that fraud. And so this goes deep, and there were a lot of individuals in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin that were involved in it, and accountability needs to be had for that fraud. We appreciate your phone call, Michelle. We also got Stephen in Green Bay calling in. Stephen, what's on your mind today?
Hey guys, I think it's outrageous that this Troopus feller got appointed to where he did, but that's not the main point I want to hit home today. The main point I want to hit home is this Daniel Kelly joker that is trying to get into our Supreme Court. I want to paint a picture for the listeners that are listening to the station. Let's just pretend that Daniel Kelly is a fascist puzzle piece, and if he gets elected, he is going to complete the fascist puzzle in the state of Wisconsin. And if we think that it is bad now, I'm afraid of the conversations that we're going to have if this guy gets elected to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, a lot of times people who are interested vaguely in politics only are interested in, like, who's going to be elected president, or maybe who's going to be elected senator, or maybe even governor. But other than that, they're not interested in local elections that much. And sometimes it's people who even are very much interested in politics, but are only interested at the top. But what we found out in Wisconsin, if we found out anything over the last 12 years since Scott Walker, is it really matters who's elected. It matters who's elected governor. It matters who's elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It matters who's elected to the legislature. It matters who's elected to attorney general. And this Supreme Court race is pivotally important for our democracy. I share the concern that the caller has. We don't want another justice elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court who's just willing to chuck and throw away and shred the votes of tens of thousands of Wisconsin voters because they didn't like the outcome of the election, just those 7 people on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We can't have that. That's not democracy.
Yeah, that's absolutely not democracy. And again, the accountability can be had specifically to prevent a majority that would vote in the way that it did for reappointing Jim Troopus to the advisory committee, and just a straight up a member of the state's highest court.
Yeah, I mean, this vote is about whether our freedoms are going to expand or whether our freedoms are going to shrink.
Yeah.
And you should have that in mind when you go vote on April 4th.
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, you can go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. That is where the podcasts are had. You can go to the show tab for Dueling Tangents. You can also find the podcast on Apple, Spotify. Really want to thank you, Matt Rothschild, for joining me on this Friday afternoon.
Always fun, Luke. My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. It's been a great conversation. We didn't even get to half of the stories that we wanted to talk about. See, all those excellent callers as well. We appreciate your point of view. Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. You can tune in then. Have an excellent weekend. See you on Monday.
Ooh, buckle fan. Freedom calls a buckle fan.